Welcome. I'm glad you're here. It's a good day to worship the Lord. Oh, you slow reflex machine. We got it. When Mahalalel was 65 years, he became the father of Jared. After he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived a total of 895 years, and then he died. When Jared lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him. One day he's out washing his camel, and the next day he's in heaven with God. We good? All right. Next day he's in heaven with God. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so they did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For he was taken, but for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch puts his faith in God. And then sometime later, okay, 300 years later, God takes him. No death. Just straight to heaven. Now, last week, we heard a message about salvation in this room. What does it mean to be saved? How to be saved? Why we need to be saved? We heard about how God loves us and how he's completely forgiven all who respond to him. Now, I ask, if all God wanted was for us to be saved, why did he not just change us after we believed and take us like he did Enoch? I mean, if all God wants is for our salvation, then after we put our faith in Christ, why are we still here? We shouldn't need to be here anymore if that was the case, do we? Now, let's face it. There's a lot of things in life that are quite enjoyable. I enjoy so many different things that God has provided. They're pretty good, pretty fulfilling. But compared to living in heaven, I'll take heaven. And then there's other things in life that are not quite so enjoyable. There's challenges and sorrows that we go through here on earth that can be almost overwhelming, which makes heaven even that much more attractive. Nevertheless, we know that God does not make mistakes, and we know that God has purposes for what he does. So what are we still doing here on earth after we put our faith in Christ? The answer is, we've got things to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not just any creation of God. Here it says that we are God's handiwork in the NIV, but the Greek word behind that is poema. We are God's poem. We are art. The Jerusalem Bible actually translates this as a work of art. We are God's work of art. You can take a look at a person sitting next to you and realize that that is God's work of art. What an amazing thing. Works of art by our Creator. And we were created in Christ to do good works. Not just any good works, but there are good works that He has prepared for us to do in advance. Jesus explains that the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on a journey. Now this is a parable, and a parable is an earthly story that communicates a heavenly truth. It's a metaphor. It's figurative language intended to make a point. Now this parable, this is a metaphor about the kingdom of God. In it, a man went on a journey. Who is that man that we're talking about? Who is that a metaphor of? The man that goes on a journey is Jesus. Before he went on a journey, he called his servants before him. Now, who do the servants represent? His disciples. Us. Everybody puts their faith in Christ. And he gave each servant a certain amount of wealth, gold, if you will. Now, what does the gold represent? That which God has given us. We each have talents that are God-given. I praise God for the worshipers early this morning, this afternoon. We each have our own talents. We have material resources at our disposal, money, and other resources that God has provided. We have the Holy Spirit who has gifted us each with supernatural gifts and callings. You see, we are very well equipped. And Jesus, just as a man going on the journey, gave his servants all that they needed to accomplish all that he desired while he was gone, so it is for Christians. You see, Jesus came. He demonstrated how to live according to the Holy Spirit. And he gave the Holy Spirit and every perfect gift to his followers. And then he departed in Acts 1:9, and he went on his journey. And he will return. In the meantime, his followers are responsible to care for his estate and return an increase. In the parable, not all the servants were given the same amounts. Our lives also, there is not equity. Each of us are given different things according to our own ability. Different giftings, different callings. The Holy Spirit knows for each of us. Now in the parable, each servant was responsible for what he was given. And we also are responsible for what we are given. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. Now, both of these servants doubled what they were given, but the servant with the 2 bags was not expected to bring back 5 bags. He brought back 2 bags. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. By the time the boss returned, each of those two had gained 100% increase. Now, we got some pretty good money managers in our group here. If you were to make an investment and get a 200% return, how much risk do you have to take? You have to take a lot of risk. It's not an easy thing to make 100% profit. You ever thought about that? God wants us to take big risks. He wants us to live in Him and take big risks. Perhaps start a ministry that ministers to widows, or join a ministry that ministers to widows. Start or join a ministry that ministers to orphans. Single parent families need help. Unexpectant mothers need help. Pray for God to show you the good works that He's prepared in advance for you to do, and then do it. What about an outreach to your neighbors? Is that too risky? No. Take the risk. God wants us to take the risk. What happens when you sometimes take that big risk? Sometimes you lose. Now think for a second. What would have happened with these two first guys, one with the 5 bags of gold and the other 2 bags of gold, what if they invested in a high-risk operation and let's say they lost part of it? Do you think that Jesus would look at us and say, "You failure"? Or would He commend us for stepping out in faith and going for it? God wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to listen to Him. And then He wants us to not be fearful, but go for it. I was talking with a brother this morning who went on a missionary trip around the world. He's in a country right next to Ukraine, and then a war broke out. He didn't come home. He's ministering in Ukraine. High risk. But God provides, and He returns. He returns on that investment. I don't think Jesus would be upset at us if we started to step out in faith, do what we believe He's called us to do, and we fail. Let's say you share the gospel with a neighbor and they start yelling at you. Or let's say you invest in a ministry and the social or economic environment changes and the ministry ends up closing. Do you think Jesus would be angry? I don't. As a matter of fact, I think it's worse if we don't even try. We need to step up and do what He's called us to do. Do not let fear stop you. Listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His lead, even if you think you can't do it. I said that wrong. Let me try that again. Listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His lead, especially if you think you cannot do it. You see, in that case, you're leaning on Him, not on your own skills. You're trusting in Him to get the work done. And you're trusting in Him for the results, not in your own abilities. That's when you see God flourish. You see God move in front of your eyes. Then this will require you to lean on Him, won't it? His strength, not yours. And things will actually turn out better than if we try it ourselves. Did you know that Christians were supposed to live by faith, not by sight? What does that mean? This means we need to listen to God and do what He's telling us, no matter whether we think we can or cannot. This is our calling as Christians. Live by faith. God's plan is for us to live by faith to be our normal everyday lifestyle. Not some exception that occurs every couple of years. Risky? Yeah. At first, it's quite risky. But as you start hearing His voice and you start following His lead and you start seeing that He actually delivers, that risk is not what you thought it was at the beginning. You see, you're trusting in the living God, and He takes care of the results. Take a risk. Step forth in faith. Think about your favorite Bible characters. Think about the stories and think about what they did throughout the scriptures. And you'll realize that this is how they lived their lives. Living by faith, not by sight, was not just for them. It's for us also. But the man who had received one bag, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. This guy was given the same opportunities as the others, and he buried it. My faith is a personal faith. That's why I don't share it. That's burying it. I don't say anything. I live my faith out loud and that people can see what I believe by the way I live my life, so I don't say anything. No, that's burying it. You see, God does want you to live according to your faith, but how can anybody tell what your faith is and what you believe if you don't say anything? There are plenty of moral people who don't believe and have the eternal hope that you have. If God has been willing, has been telling you to get involved in some ministry, just between you and the Lord, he's been telling you to get involved in some ministry, and you're not doing it, you're burying it. Don't bury it. Listen, I'm an introvert. It takes effort for me to stand in front of people. I am wired to be by myself or behind the scenes, and yet God has seen fit to put me in front of people hundreds of times. I do it not because it's what I want. I do it because I want to do what God wants me to do more than what I want to do. Does that make sense? I want to do what God wants me to do more than I want to do what I want to do. Not to boast, but I've led major portions of international ministries, even permanently changing and improving it. I've led youth groups since the 80s. I've trained and spoken in different areas of apologetics. I have led retreats. I've even had the opportunity to share the gospel to the Secretary of State of Ghana as God decided to put the two of us on a plane sitting next to each other. I am privileged to be standing here before you today. And I say this not to boast, because I have done none of these things except God has gifted and called me and gave me the strength to do them. He could have used anybody. So this is not about me, it's about him. So there's nothing special about me. And in this way, he gets all of the glory. But I give these examples to you because you never know the reach or the impact you will have in people's lives unless you step out in faith and you do it. I told you in the 1980s, I led a youth group. About 15 years ago, I ran into one of those young people working at Costco. And he looked at me and said, "Vince, because of you, I'm walking with Christ today." Because of the Lord. But this is stepping out in faith. This is taking the risk. Don't bury it. Don't be this last guy. Please. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Did you know that Jesus is coming back to settle accounts with us? Did you know that? Yeah, I know we all know it, but are we living it like it's really going to happen and happen soon? We should be eagerly anticipating his return. Now, he's been gone for quite a while now. I would admit, he's been gone for quite a long time. And when he comes, he will settle his accounts, just as he said he would. Jesus tells us, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." We need to live our lives boldly and intentionally and serving him, because he's coming back, and he's coming back soon. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Did you notice that these two people, even though they brought back different amounts of gold, were given the exact same reward? One had 5 bags, brought back 2 bags, but they both received the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, so I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. You see, they were equally willing to do what the master has called them to do. And they executed on it. They didn't just think it would be nice if I did. They did it. What matters was the willingness to do what they could with what they had. Their actions were in accordance with their faith, and what they believed the master wanted them to do, they did. I gotta tell you, this is not always easy to do, especially when the risk is perceived to be high. The master knew this, and he rewarded them accordingly. Our God is just. Our God is absolutely just, and I believe Jesus is commuting the fact that God is fair, just like this landowner. Then, the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. He's saying, Master, you're a great businessman with many different business offering financial channels. I'm a nobody. You gave him 5 bags. You gave him 2 bags. And I got 1 bag. I'm just this little nobody. With all the vast things you got going on, I took this. I'm a college student. I don't matter. I'm just a housewife. I don't matter. I'm just a small businessman or a laborer or whatever. I'm not a pastor. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm just little old me, and I really don't matter. Whatever I do in the vast scheme of all your businesses, I know that I'm pretty much irrelevant. And I know you take things seriously. So what I did is I buried it. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. You gave me the Holy Spirit. And I went to church regularly. I even helped at church sometimes, but I didn't share the gospel with the lost. I didn't do the things I remember you telling me to do because, well, I was afraid I'd fail. You take things so seriously, God. I just didn't want to take the risk. You gave me the Holy Spirit, and here, I bring it back to you now. You see, this servant's trying to blame the boss, but really, it was the servant's own heart, his own lack of follow-through. And it will never be God's fault if we don't do what we should. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, fear can be absolutely paralyzing sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. Fear can absolutely paralyze someone into inaction. We need to know who God really is. We need to know his heart. We need to learn the voice of the Savior. And we need to follow him with no fear. Boldly following God. And watch him unfold things before our lives. For his glory. The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you thought your contribution was irrelevant, did you? Because of what all that I've got going on? Then why would I have given you anything before I left?" You see, you misunderstood the whole thing. And brothers and sisters, God has given each of us a bag of gold. 2 bags, 5 bags, 10 bags. We've all been entrusted with something. And none of us are insignificant. Not one. And he gave it to you on purpose because he knew that you were the right person. Master continues, "Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." The master is saying, "I have perfectly equipped you for success. But because you doubted yourself, why didn't you invest with other people who would follow through? Other ministries, they're producing fruit. You could have volunteered, perhaps. You could have contributed financially. You could have at least prayed for them. I gave you the Holy Spirit, and you just buried it. If you can't do what I told you to do, you could have supported others who will." The fact is, this servant could have done it and chose not to. And God's word is telling us, just don't bury it. What God has given you, he knows you can handle. And he knows there's a return if you just follow through. And you're not a nobody. None of us. You may be different than the other guy, but that's okay. God's called you to do what you should do. "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." This represents God's complete withdrawal support for this third servant and rewards those who follow him and walk by faith. "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we see here that in God's final assessment, this person was not a believer. His fate is the same as those who have denied God their entire lives. And according to Revelation 20:15, non-believers will be thrown into the same lake of fire that the devil was thrown in 5 verses earlier. And it's a fire that torments day and night forever and ever. God has given us everything we need to be successful. He's given us talents and skills. He's given us material resources, money, and other resources. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he has gifted each one of us with supernatural gifts and calling. And God has told us what he is going to do if we turn to Jesus or if we don't turn to Jesus. We're here on this planet because God wants us to be. He's providing every single breath that we're breathing. There are good works that God wants you to do, each and every one of you. These works do not earn God's acceptance, for he already loves you. These good works do not earn salvation, for salvation is not available through any way except for the blood of Christ. These good works are prepared in advance for us to do so that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what? Every time we do what God tells us to do, things happen. Every time we do what God tells us to do, things happen. We see His hand and we grow in our faith and are blessed. Other people see God move and they may come to faith and be blessed. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There's so much good that can happen when we do good works that He has prepared in advance for us. Now, I got to tell you, I thought about ending this message with practical application from the scriptures here. And I got to confess, God told me not to. He said, stop. Many of you know what you need to do. He's already been talking to you. If you've not put your faith in Christ, then that's the first good work you need to do. Put your faith in Christ, and you know it. If you have put your faith in Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit's been talking to you, and there's probably something that He's brought to your memory, something He's told you to do in the past. And it's your communication with Him that He's talking to you. The Holy Spirit has been moving. He has shown you the road to the cross. He has shown you what ought to be done. And it's now up to each of us to respond, to take that risk, to do the good works that He has prepared for us in advance. If you don't think you can, that's fine. Come to Him in prayer, and He will minister you. Oh, wrong way. There we go. Come to Him in prayer, and He will minister you personally. If you're already walking in faith and doing what the Lord's telling you to do, I want to encourage you, keep going. This parable in Matthew is also told in Luke 19. And in that version of the parable, the boss looks at his servants. He says, put this money to work until I get back. Jesus isn't back yet. We still got time. We can do this. Keep going. And the more you do, the more God will be glorified. The more you do, the more blessed you will be. And the more you do, you will bless others. Listen to Him. Don't fear. Take risks. Live by faith and not by sight. And to God be all the glory. Amen. Thank you.